District 57 State Representative Clark Boyd's legislative updates for the week of February 13, 2026. This week, I continued my work on the House Finance, Ways and Means Committee, where we heard budget presentations from 24 state agencies. Each agency outlined its priorities for the upcoming fiscal year and explained how requested funding will be used to serve Tennesseans. One of the most important responsibilities we have as legislators is ensuring your tax dollars are spent wisely and transparently. I value these hearings because they give us the opportunity to ask detailed questions, evaluate performance, and make sure state government is operating efficiently and effectively. The remaining agencies will present their budgets in 2 weeks. I always appreciate the opportunity to meet with constituents from the district. While we had fewer visitors this week, I was grateful for those who took time out of their busy schedules to come by the Capitol. Hearing directly from you is one of the most important parts of my job. What is a majority whip? I mentioned in last week's newsletter that I am honored to have been elected by the Tennessee House Republican Caucus to serve as majority whip for this current session. Considering the unusual name, have you wondered where the term whip originated? Here's a brief history lesson. The term whip has its roots in British parliamentary tradition in the 18th century and was later adopted by the U.S. Congress in the late 19th century. It comes from the phrase whipper-in, used in fox hunting to describe the person responsible for keeping the hunting party together and moving in the same direction. In government, the term evolved to describe a legislative leader whose job is to help keep members informed, organized, and unified around shared priorities. At the state level, the majority whip plays a key supporting role in helping the majority party work together efficiently and effectively. In short, the whip ensures that the legislative process runs smoothly and that members are aligned as they represent their districts and serve the people of Tennessee. I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve in this capacity. If you would like to meet with me or are planning a trip to the Capitol, please don't hesitate to reach out to my office. You are welcome to contact me at rep.clark.boyd@capitol.tn.gov or at 615-741-7086. 615-741-7086. Legislative update, the 13th of February, 2026. I enjoyed meeting with the citizens from my district, such as students from Wilson County who benefit from the Tennessee Achieves program, members of Lebanon's First Methodist during their day on the Hill, and employees from Wilson Bank and Trust during the Young Bankers Day on the Hill. Legislative update, the 13th of February, 2026. 2025 to 2026 edition of Tennessee's Blue Book. The 2025 to 2026 edition of Tennessee's Blue Book is now available. Free to Tennessee residents, the Tennessee Blue Book is filled with useful information about our state, both past and present, including the makeup of Tennessee state government, state history, national and state constitutions, most recent election results, and census data. To get a copy, you are welcome to contact our office or the Secretary of State's office. Yas Top, local property tax hike limits proposed. Two Republican proposals would protect homeowners in Tennessee from exorbitant local property tax hikes. House Bill 2607 by State Representative Bud Halsey, R. Kingsport, would cap property tax increases at no more than 2% per year, with a limited exception for municipalities that deem additional increases necessary. Wait, local governments could exceed the 2% cap for up to 4 years only if a referendum is held and at least 60% of voters approve the proposed increase. Home ownership is central to the American dream, but excessive property tax hikes are threatening the stability of Tennessee families, said Halsey. Government at all levels must live within its means and respect the private property rights of residents. This proposal helps ensure all Tennesseans, including senior citizens and those on fixed incomes, are never taxed out of the homes they've spent their lives working to own. Referendum notices must include the purpose for the additional revenues, the amount of tax to be imposed, and the period of time for the increased rate to remain in effect. House Bill 1873 by Deputy Speaker Jason Zachary R. Knoxville would require a referendum election to increase the local property tax rate by an amount exceeding inflation plus 2% annually, or inflation plus 6% over the preceding 3 tax years. Tennessee is one of 4 states that do not limit local property tax hikes. Several municipalities across the state have significantly raised property taxes in recent years, including a 60% increase in Davidson County since 2020. A recent statewide poll revealed 90% of Tennessee voters support the state limiting how much local governments can increase property taxes. Tennesseans also back requiring voter approval for hikes that exceed the prescribed limit. The volunteer state has not had a state property tax since 1949. Republican lawmakers in 2024 approved a proposed amendment to Tennessee's constitution to ensure a state property tax can never be implemented by a future General Assembly. The amendment will now be on the ballot for voters to decide on November 3, 2026. House Bill 2607 and House Bill 1873 will be considered in the Cities and Counties Subcommittee in the coming weeks. Top illegal to be illegal bill advances. House Majority Leader William Lamberth, R. Portland, has proposed legislation that aims to strengthen Tennessee's response to illegal immigration and reinforce public safety. House Bill 1704 establishes state-level criminal penalties for individuals unlawfully present in the United States who have received a final order of removal under federal law and intentionally refuse to leave the state, as well as for individuals who unlawfully re-enter Tennessee after being deported. Simply put, House Bill 1704 makes it illegal to be illegal in Tennessee. Violations would be classified as a Class A misdemeanor, punishable by 11 months and 29 days in jail. It would only apply to adults 18 and over. Tennessee has a duty to protect the rights, safety, and privileges of its citizens and legal residents. This common-sense legislation respects constitutional boundaries while ensuring we are prepared if state's authority is restored, Lamberth said. By holding violators accountable at the state level, we make clear Tennessee will be less than welcoming to those who break our laws. The bill includes a trigger mechanism contingent on future changes in federal law or a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Arizona versus United States that restores state's authority to determine unlawful presence. The re-entry provision of House Bill 1704 would only take effect 30 days after one of those events occur. The bill also includes safeguards to ensure due process. Criminal proceedings would be stayed if an individual has not exhausted all available federal appeals or legal challenges related to their removal order or deportation. House Bill 1704 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on February 18th. Top bill would allow 10 commandments in schools. The House on Thursday passed legislation allowing public schools in Tennessee to display historic documents on school campuses. Sponsored by State Representative Michael Hale, R. Smithville, House Bill 47 permits the display of historically significant documents in schools, including the Ten Commandments, the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, the Constitution of Tennessee, and the Bill of Rights. These historic documents are the bedrock upon which our nation was founded and offer significant educational value for students, said Hale. Local school leaders know their communities and classrooms best, and this bill gives them the autonomy to decide whether to acknowledge and display these documents for educational purposes, while ensuring they have legal protection if they do. The legislation is unique among similar legislative proposals in other states because decisions regarding whether historic documents are posted, as well as their size, placement, and presentation, remain fully under local control. Top safe haven law expansion proposed. House Republicans advanced legislation that would strengthen and expand Tennessee's safe haven law, which allows mothers to surrender their unharmed newborns at designated facilities within 45 days of being born without fear of being prosecuted. House Bill 1844, sponsored by State Representative Ed Butler, R. Rickman, builds on Tennessee's current law to include ambulance stations in the list of approved facilities where a newborn may be safely surrendered without criminal liability. The legislation would also clarify monitoring requirements for safe haven baby boxes by codifying safeguards that have been standard practice into state law. There's no greater way a mother can exhibit love for a newborn she is unable to care for than to surrender that child to a safe and secure environment, said Butler. More facilities can serve as secure options for newborns in crisis situations, so no safe option is left unclear in state law. The bill revises statutory language to ensure staff are scheduled 24 hours. The clarification allows for a solution in the event emergency personnel may be temporarily away responding to calls. Fopolo. Tennessee law permits infants to be surrendered without penalty at approved facilities, including hospitals, birthing centers, community health clinics, outpatient walk-in clinics, fire departments, law enforcement facilities, emergency communication centers, and nursing homes operating with continuous scheduled staffing. More than 141 infants have been safely surrendered in Tennessee since 2001 when the Safe Haven law took effect. The devices must be continuously monitored, equipped with an on-site alarm, and automatically notify 911 when activated to ensure immediate emergency response and rapid transport for medical care and Tennessee Department of Children's Services notification. House Bill 1844 is expected to be heard for consideration in the Health Committee on February 17th. Top bill strengthens substance abuse violence prevention program. One Republican lawmaker is aiming to strengthen substance abuse and violence prevention programming in Tennessee schools beginning in the 2026 to 2027 school year. House Bill 902, sponsored by State Representative Renea Jones, R. Unicoi, creates a three-year pilot grant program for five school districts to provide educational programming on the dangers of youth violence and tobacco, alcohol, and illicit drug use. The programming will provide a sequence of lessons addressing youth substance use, violent risk, and protective factors, Jones told the Education Committee. It is age and developmentally appropriate and aligns with coordinated school health guidelines. Qualifying school districts must already have a substance abuse and violence prevention program in grades 3 to 12. Districts would also be required to submit annual reports to various state departments and lawmakers on the effectiveness of the program. School districts could apply for grant funding for the program, which would be administered by the Tennessee Department of Education. House Bill 902 advanced out of the Education Committee this week and is expected to be heard in the Finance, Ways and Means Committee in the coming weeks. Top proposal would criminalize coercive suicide. A new proposal would protect vulnerable Tennesseans from being manipulated into harming themselves. House Bill 1951 would create a Class D felony offense of coercive suicide, which includes intentionally encouraging or aiding another person to commit or attempt to commit suicide within a certain period of time. Life is precious, and anyone who manipulates or coerces another person to end theirs should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, said Williams. This proposal seeks to protect Tennesseans by recognizing the severity of coercive suicide and providing prosecutors with additional tools to pursue justice for victims. I continue to pray for the family of Grace Ann Sparks, who tragically lost her life in 2019, and I'm deeply grateful for their partnership in advancing this legislation in her memory. Grace Ann Sparks was a 19-year-old girl from Knoxville who shot herself after an Indiana man manipulated and groomed her for years. The man was communicating with Sparks over video chat, where he encouraged her to place a bullet in a revolver, spin it, and put it to her head to pull the trigger. The man who coerced Sparks into ending her life was sentenced to 2 years in prison, the maximum penalty allowed by current law. House Bill 1951 will provide prosecutors with an additional avenue to protect victims and hold offenders accountable by establishing a Class D felony, which is punishable by up to 12 years in prison. Candace Sparks, Grace Ann's mother, testified this week in support of House Bill 1951. This legislation is not about criminalizing grief or mental illness. It is about accountability for predators who exploit vulnerability and hide behind technical gaps in the statute, Sparks told the Criminal Justice Subcommittee. To be considered coercive suicide, an offender must know that the other person has communicated an intent to commit suicide, according to the legislation. House Bill 1951 will be considered by the Judiciary Committee on February 18th. Top. Yes on 2 launches to ban state property tax. Tennessee voters on November 3rd will have the opportunity to vote on a constitutional amendment that would permanently prohibit the Tennessee General Assembly from levying a state-level tax on property. A statewide campaign, Yes on 2, officially launched this week to promote and bring awareness to the measure. Although Tennessee no longer collects a statewide property tax, current law still permits it. Tennessee collected a property tax until 1949 when the General Assembly set the rate to zero. The proposed amendment, sponsored by State Representative Tandy Darby, R. Greenfield, through Senate Joint Resolution 1 in 2025, would close that door permanently by making it unconstitutional for the state to impose a property tax in the future. Supporters argue the measure ends the threat of double taxation, allowing Tennesseans to keep more of their hard-earned money and avoid future burdens on their homes, farms, and businesses. The Yes on 2 campaign is being led by a coalition that includes Tennessee Farm Bureau, Tennessee Realtors, Tennessee Chamber of Commerce, and other business groups, with Governor Bill Lee serving as statewide chairman. Darby serves as West Tennessee chair. House Speaker Cameron Sexton, R. Crossville, serves as East Tennessee chair, and Senate Speaker Pro Tempore Farrell Haley, R. Gallatin, serves as chair for Middle Tennessee. Voters will decide on this and two other constitutional amendments related to crime victims' rights and bail restrictions in the November 2026 general election. President Trump approves TN request for winter storm aid. President Donald Trump on February January 6th approved Governor Bill Lee's request for a major disaster declaration in the wake of the recent ice storm that impacted Tennessee. The announcement makes Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, public assistance available for eligible government entities and nonprofit organizations in 15 counties across the state, including Cheatham, Chester, Clay, Davidson, Hardin, Henderson, Hickman, Lewis, Macon, McNary, Perry, Sumner, Trousdale, Wayne, and Williamson. 29 Tennesseans died as a result of Winter Storm Fern, which damaged critical infrastructure across the state and caused 365,000 utility customers to lose power. Eligible counties can apply for reimbursement from FEMA for qualifying disaster-related costs. Top briefly, orders of protection. Legislation to strengthen the penalty for offenders who violate lifetime orders of protection advanced out of the Criminal Justice Subcommittee this week. House Bill 1765, sponsored by State Representative Mary Littleton R. Dixon, increases the penalty from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class E felony for knowingly violating a lifetime order of protection issued after a prior conviction for a violent offense. Tennessee Republicans created lifetime orders of protection in 2021 and have continued to strengthen the law since. House Bill 1765 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on February. Shiba. Legal immigration reform. The House of Representatives approved a resolution urging the federal government to streamline the legal immigration system this week. House Joint Resolution 180, sponsored by State Representative Lee Reeves R. Franklin, reaffirms the importance of immigration enforcement for national security and public safety while calling for a more efficient legal immigration system. A certified copy of the resolution will be sent to President Donald Trump and Tennessee's congressional delegation. Judicial vacancies. The General Assembly this week passed legislation to streamline and clarify Tennessee's election process for judicial nominees. House Bill 458, sponsored by State Representative Tim Rudd, R. Murfreesboro, will allow statewide political parties to nominate a replacement for a judicial office if a vacancy occurs after the deadline to call a party primary. Currently, parties are unable to nominate candidates for judge, district attorney general, or public defender if a vacancy occurs less than 180 days before a qualifying deadline. The bill now heads to Governor Bill Lee's desk to be signed into law. By the Legal Work Authorization, a proposal seeks to ensure all employees in Tennessee have legal work authorization. House Bill 1194, sponsored by State Representative Scott Sapicki, R. Kalioka, would require every private employer in the volunteer state to submit work authorization verification of employees to the Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Current law only requires employers with six or more workers to verify lawful status of new hires. House Bill 1194 is scheduled to be heard in the Commerce Committee on February 18th. Hunting laws. A new proposal would protect hunting rights in Tennessee by clarifying current law. House Bill 2017, sponsored by Assistant Majority Leader Mark Cochran, R. Englewood, would prohibit local governments from regulating the manner and means of taking wildlife, reaffirming that authority over hunting methods is the responsibility of the Tennessee Fish and Wildlife Commission. A 2013 opinion from the Tennessee Attorney General stated that municipalities may regulate firearm discharge as long as those ordinances do not conflict with state hunting laws. House Bill 2017 is scheduled to be considered in the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee on February 17th. Protecting Tennesseans' medical information, State Representative Michael Hale, R. Smithville, is sponsoring legislation to protect the personal information of Tennesseans within the Comptroller of the Treasury. House Bill 1478 adds provider reimbursement information submitted to the Comptroller to the list of proprietary information that is not subject to disclosure under Tennessee's public records laws. This means that internal documents containing this sensitive confidential information could not be released through public records requests. House Bill 1478 is expected to be heard for consideration in the Government Operations Committee on February 18th. Education assessments for inmates. House Bill 1771, sponsored by State Representative Kevin Raper, R. Cleveland, aims to provide transparency and track the success of higher education programs offered to inmates. The legislation requires the Tennessee Department of Correction to conduct an education assessment of each inmate serving a felony offense to determine the inmate's highest grade or educational level attained and their interest in continuing education. The assessment would be given at the time of intake and annually thereafter, with a digital copy of the results sent to the inmate for their records. Tennessee remains a leader in evidence-based programming through the Tennessee Higher Education Initiative, THEI. Less than 15% of THEI students have been reincarcerated, compared to the national rate of 66%, according to THEI's 2025 impact report. The bill advances to the House State and Local Government Committee. Rounding cash transactions. A bill allowing businesses to round cash payments to the nearest nickel advanced out of the Banking and Consumer Affairs Subcommittee this week. House Bill 1744, sponsored by State Representative Charlie Baum, R. Murr Freesboro, allows private businesses and financial institutions to round cash transactions up or down to the nearest 5 cents when exact change is unavailable. The U.S. Mint struck its final pennies in November following an order from President Donald Trump after reporting an $85.3 million loss on penny production in fiscal year 2024. Businesses would still be required to calculate and report sales tax to the penny. House Bill 1744 is expected to be heard in the Commerce Committee on February. Sherbaugh. Elected Superintendents. House Bill 1849, sponsored by State Representative Ed Butler, R. Rickman, would allow counties and municipalities to switch from an appointed director of schools to an elected school superintendent. Superintendents would be elected to 4-year terms in the August general election. The measure requires local governments to satisfy any remaining contractual obligations owed to a current director if an election is held before that contract expires. The State Board of Education would set minimum licensure, education, and experience qualifications for the position. House Bill 1849 is scheduled to be heard in the Education Committee on February.